Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Mike Tomlin made it clear, not only is Matt Canada not being fired, he's not being removed from his play-calling duties. So what the heck does the changes mean for the Pittsburgh Steelers? We'll talk about that, Kenny Pickett's injury, when he'll be back, as well as other injuries, and what's going on at the tight end position with Pat Freiermuth scheduled to be doubtful this week to play against the Ravens. All that and more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, your host here, joined by Brian Batko. It's going to be a fun one. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive Podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Batko. As always, reminder, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting platforms and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, as well as our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast all season long. And also a reminder, we are sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. You got to get there right now. They're on Federal Street in the North Shore, right across the street from PNC Park. They have over 20 televisions to catch all the different sporting events you could imagine, over 500 different available beers to try all the different beers you can imagine, 300 of those beers being local beers, and 80 of those local beers being available on tap for you to try out, mix out, and create all the different flight combinations you could dream of. Get to Mike's Beer Bar today. More on them later. But as I said, we're joined by Brian Batko. Brian, everyone in Pittsburgh was saying this was going to be the press conference. This was going to be the one that changed everything. Everyone's ready for the biggest one.
And it was just changes.
And it wasn't what they thought, because
I see no changes.
Exactly. I see no change. Exactly. And that's
wake up in the morning and I ask myself,
they just found his killer, so you better chill about Tupac right now. But
it's timely.
Anyway,
it's timely and topical.
It is timely and topical. I give you credits there. But let's get into this real quick. We have a clip of Mike Tomlin we're going to play in a minute here. But Brian, what's your reaction to the Steelers, to Mike Tomlin, and you know, not only you know saying you know that not addressing any changes as far as coaching staff hires and fires or anything like that, but also saying like, yeah, the play calling is not going to change at this point of the season, just bringing reality to Steelers fans who might have been disillusioned that was a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised by it, and I thought Tuesday's presser, I mean, could he have been a little bit more incisive, insightful, and accountable in terms of, hey, we didn't coach them well enough. The schematics weren't where they needed to be. Maybe, but he did acknowledge a lot of that. He did take a lot of the blame for coaching decisions. I guess that 20 to 25 minutes up there behind the podium wouldn't have been satisfying to anybody unless he just got his pound of flesh from Matt Canada, right? But we know Tomlin's never going to do that. He's not going to be that type of coach. Very few NFL head coaches are going to call their offensive coordinator on the carpet of the whole world. That's just not really how it works. So, you know, short of that, I'm not really sure what people thought he was going to say. He's, you know, people forget, you know, he's been through a lot of rough pressers. I mean, I saw people wondering on social media Tuesday, is this one of the more anticipated Mike Tomlin pressers? Like, probably not. We've got very short memories. What are you going to say, Chris?
I'm just agreeing with you. I mean, they've been 0-4. They've been worse situation.
I didn't know if you had like one in mind that you were like, no, hold on. But yeah, I mean, they've gone through 0-4 starts. They've gone through embarrassing playoff losses. They've gone through bizarre off the field things with various players over the years. So no, I mean, this is all, none of this is uncharted territory for him, I would say. You know, yeah, maybe it feels a little different now that you're getting further and further away from the Ben Roethlisberger era, further and further away from playoff success, and you're getting destroyed by the Texans. But no, I mean, the adversity and stuff like that is really nothing new to him. So he's going to handle it a certain way, his way. But yeah, I mean, the other thing too, he at least gave some kind of tangible change here. Yes, it's practice attire, which sounds kind of ridiculous when you really go through everything that's ailing this team right now, but at least it wasn't a mystical word like getting their mojo back again. And obviously anything that is going to be a little bit more substantial in terms of personnel usage or X's and O's, you're not just going to divulge that in a press conference setting for, you know, your future opponents to hear and for anybody else to hear. So, you know, I thought it could have been better, but let's wait and see kind of where this week leads us to on Sunday.
Well, let's get to the parts of that Mike Tomlin actually said in his press conference. I want to talk about that because I think we get more insight into what he's talking about here. Cause a lot of people are saying, oh, he's just, so padded practices. That's all the Steelers are going to do. There's no coaching problems. Like you said, he's acknowledging that coaching is part of the issues right now. Here was Mike Tomlin when he was asked about those changes and a few other points that drive right at the different talking points we're talking about right now.
After the game, changes are coming. What are those changes?
You know, I was talking about the physicality component or the lack thereof, and it didn't take long for me to realize practice attire early in the year, but also, you know, some matchup related things, man. We're open to dividing the labor up more finely in an effort to get better play, to put people in circumstances that are advantageous to their skill set without being too specific and getting into game plan related things. We're open to doing whatever is required to highlight the skill sets of people based on what we have seen to this point in the journey.
Mike, when you evaluate the tape from the game and you look at the coaching job, just how do you especially evaluate the coaching job that was done on the offensive side of the ball?
Man, not good enough. Not good enough. Whenever we don't play well, forget win or lose, whenever we don't play well, as a coach, man, you start there. And so that's where we always start. And particularly at the early portions of the season, forget whether or not you playing poorly or you're losing. There's a get better component of this process, particularly at the early stages of the year, that has a lot to do with coach decision making, how you structure preparation, how you allocate time and preparation in terms of the things that you highlight about what other people do and the amount of physical reps that you tee up for things that you prepare to do. All of that is coaching and elements of coaching decision making and strategy. And so I'm always looking at that, but obviously based on the result of that last game, certainly.
When you talk about a division of labor, especially with players, does any of that extend to coaches, whether that's changing who's calling the plays, anything like that on the offensive
side? Not at this juncture, no.
Why have slow starts been, I mean, you guys have struggled to keep the ball early in games. That would hint that the game plan is maybe not up to par. Which level of confidence in that can those?
And sometimes the game plan being up to par or not being up to par has nothing to do with the schematics, but our presentation of the schematics, the training, how we allocate physical reps in preparation, the amount of fluidity and understanding being displayed by the players early on in the game, all of that is coaching and coaching-related decisions in terms of the things, that, the positions that we put them in during the course of the week. And so, yes, you do look at the game plan, but not just solely the concepts, how many times we rep the concepts, what looks we provide, the realistic component of it, the division of labor within the concepts. And so there's a lot to that, but obviously that's something that's being looked at and being looked at very hard given the trajectory of the starts, as you mentioned.
So a lot of different things are said there, Brian, But bottom line, when I go through this and I'm listening to Mike, he is taking a lot of accountability for what's happening here. And he's taking him and his coaching staff. You know, he's making it clear this is on preparation. This is on how we get ready for different things. And there are things that we have to change about how we're getting ready right now. And to me, I think a lot of people, they wanted their pound of flesh. They wanted their opportunity to see someone get roasted. And it's just, that's not what Mike Tomlin's going to give you on a Tuesday press conference. You know, unless he wants to motivate somebody, you know, if like how he called out kind of Presley Harvin the other day. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, want to see that pound of flesh. They wanted it to be Matt Canada being fired. I think it's also important to remember Mike Tomlin didn't hire Matt Canada. That was a Rooney decision. Jerry Dulac reported that years ago, you know, when it happened, that was an Art Rooney call, not a Mike Tomlin call. So it's not going to be a Mike Tomlin call to fire him per se. Mike Tomlin may be able to have conversations with Art about it, but ultimately, that's got to come from the owner. Brian, when you hear the Steelers talking about the adjustments that they have to make, are these even real tangible adjustments or things that you think actually can play out in game C, actually play out in some of their future games?
Well, at some point, Matt Canada's offense and his playbook is what it is. You know, you're sort of pot committed on that at this point. Obviously, you can get to different plays and choose when you call them. But there's also something to be said for having an innate feel for the game, staying one step ahead of the opposing defensive play caller. And it doesn't seem like that's been the case for him over these last few years. So I know a lot of people probably wanted him to get up there and say, Matt's not doing a good enough job. I think he said that in so many words. And I think he even said that kind of about defensive coordinator Terrell Austin and himself too, and really all the position coaches. So, you know, he said it in the sort of Tomlin gobbledygook kind of way with big words and vague notions, but I do think that he was pointing the finger within to an extent, while at the same time also kind of, you know, maybe trying to motivate the players a little by saying they didn't play hard enough and the Texans played harder than them in that game. And again, he kind of you know, took responsibility for why that was, but to a certain degree, you know, you're a grown man getting paid to play this game. There can't ever really be any excuses for why you might be loafing, trying to run down a ball carrier, or not carrying out your assignment well enough on the offensive side of the ball. It's just, it's not really acceptable, even if it's the fourth quarter and you're losing big.
I'm right with you on that. It's things that they have to address and get straight before they play the Ravens, a huge divisional game.
And that's weighty stuff for any coach to address, because when you start getting into that territory of the effort wasn't 100%, That's a major indictment on you and your ability to motivate your team. So obviously Tomlin feels pretty secure in that at this point in his career, but it's probably worth noting nonetheless.
I agree. And they have to get a response from it. And the thing is that when you call it out, if you don't see a response from it, then it's an even further indictment on
you. It compounds for sure.
Exactly. I want to get into the questions about Kenny Pickett and some of the injury questions that have come up here with the Pittsburgh Steelers right here on the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Brian Backup. But before we do any of that, I want to remind you this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Again, go to Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore. You can reserve a table ahead of time. And when you reserve a table, you can reserve it for you and all your friends. If you have a specific game you want to watch, with the Penguins being back, that can be the Penguins or any other NHL team that you want to check out. Any NFL game, college football game, college basketball is around the corner, NBA, Pirates. If you want to watch, well, the Pirates are out, but the playoffs from MLB is on, all those different things, even Premier League action. You can reserve a table with a TV to your specification to see which game that you want to have with all your friends right there at the place. That's the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, with over 500 different available beers at all times, 300 of those beers being local, 80 of those local beers being untapped, so you can try out all the different options they have, from stouts to sours to IPAs to Hefeweizens, whatever you like. Mike's is gonna have. You can also try their amazing food, like the steak on a stone, which is an awesome meal. You bring it to your choice cut of steak. It's on a heated stone. Each piece that you cut off, you press right into the stone, and it heats up to whatever level of doneness you want your steak, and that's how you eat your steak, and it's an amazing experience. Go to Mike's Beer Bar today. Check out to get your sports fix, and check out the best bar experience in all of Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, it's Chris Carter and Brian Batko. Brian, let's talk about Kenny Pickett's situation right now. Mike Tomlin addressed his injury before all others. We know Dan Moore Jr. is out for the game. We know Pat Freiermuth is doubtful. But the key thing with Kenny Pickett is, and Jared Dulac reported this on Monday, but it appears it is a bone bruise. It is not an MCL. It's not a major injury the Steelers have to worry about. In fact, we saw Kenny Pickett walking through the locker room without a knee brace on. So there's a chance that he's going to play this weekend. Mike Tomlin said he's going to practice on Wednesday and however capacity he can practice. And that's going to guide how that they operate throughout the week. So what looked like maybe Kenny Pickett not even getting a chance to play this week, there is an opportunity. But I have this question for you, Brian. Is this a week that you maybe give Kenny Pickett a breather because he didn't play well in his last outing? He took an injury that was kind of scary, even though he looks like he's back. This is the Baltimore Ravens we're talking about. And if you take the chance, you go into Wednesday, fully padded practice, it's supposed to be physical, they want to do all these things, and he ends up not being able to go, and then it has to be Mitch Trubisky. You've then taken away a day away from Mitch Trubisky to prepare to be QB1 for this game and to be the starter, which is a huge factor in preparing in your game planning and working on things to make sure he's good to go. If you had the call here, Brian, would you be still looking to Kenny Pickett to have this, or would you just say, hey, young guy, rest. We're going to put in the vet this week. You come back after the bye and be healthy.
That was my initial thought, but I've kind of come around on this a little bit to the point where if the medical staff says he's cleared and good to go, and if Kenny is able to, practice to an extent that you feel comfortable with, then I kind of think there's no breathers at this point in your career, man. You know what I mean? Like, you are the guy, you're the number one quarterback. You're the first round pick. You're the franchise potential QB who got inserted at halftime of week 4 last year when their offense wasn't moving the ball. Like, I just don't know where you go from there if Pickett doesn't play this week, and then you're kind of set up in a situation where you're almost hoping Mitch Trubisky plays poorly, and if he does, then obviously you get right back to it with Pickett coming out of the bye. But if Trubisky plays well, then all of a sudden you've got a legitimate quarterback controversy on your hand. So I think if Kenny's the competitor you've always believed that he is, and I have no reason to doubt that, he's going to want the ball if he's healthy enough to play. And at that point, maybe you monitor him a little bit more and you have him on a shorter leash if it looks like he's not moving around as well as he usually does. But I don't know. It's a tough situation. I think with Trubisky, you know who he is at this point. Yeah. It's not like you've got a young guy waiting in the wings who maybe you get a chance to showcase him or give him some good team development reps for his career. You're also trying to win a ball game. You're trying to stay in the hunt here. I still tend to think Kenny gives you the best chance to do that, although that window in my mind is closing. That gap is closing a little bit, and I don't know if that makes you more or less likely to want to roll him out there.
And that is part of this, is that some people have put up the thought, well, Mitch Trubisky wouldn't exactly be a drop off from Kenny Pickett, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah,
exactly. That's like the point. That's the thing here, is that I with the way Kenny Pickett has played, I think Kenny Pickett still has a higher potential, but it's like he's got to actualize it at some point. And again, it's very early in his career as far as when, he just had his 16th start in the NFL. So technically not even a full NFL season by today's standards.
But he did come in as a fifth year senior. So that's worth noting.
Right. Age plays a factor there. But again, NFL speed is a whole different speed from college, regardless of how old you are. But again, I get to the point of you, it was what you brought up with Kenny Pickett. You're expecting this guy to be the guy. Kenny Pickett was brought in because, he had a swagger about him. He had a moxie. He was a leader. He was a fighter. You wanted that fighter in there. I can't tell you how many times I covered him when he was at Pitt and he was definitely dealing with some sort of injury, but he was battling through it, and that made the Panthers better. That was what Ben Roethlisberger did for a lot of his career. You got to see if this guy can come through in the tough moments. If he says he's ready to go, if he's not, then if he doesn't, then well, then you're learning more about him every step of the way. Again, it comes down to trusting your doctors, trusting him. Say, hey, can you go right now? Can he go right now? If he can, let's see what he got. And if he delivers, awesome. You find out. If he doesn't, then you go forward from there and you say, because here's the thing. You don't have to be married to Kenny Pickett. You're not like the Giants who signed Daniel Jones to $40 million a year for however many years they signed him for. You can decide after some point, and it's going to sting. It's going to hurt the Steelers if they have to give up on Kenny Pickett at some point. But it's better to actually find that out than to be scared of finding that out. And I think it's kind of good that they're at least being open to saying, hey, we're not going to baby him. If he wants to play, he's going to play because he's the starter.
But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I've thought for a while now. If he succeeds, that's obviously the ideal scenario. If he bottoms out, you know, that's tough. That's not going to be fun for anybody, but at least you'll know, and you won't be stuck in quarterback purgatory like a lot of teams where you're not really sure if you're in or you're out. So that's almost to me, the worst case scenario. Best is obviously he turns this thing around and balls out. Second best is it's just plain to see he's not the player that you thought he was. You know, still the jury's out. I know a lot of people are writing him off after that Houston game, which I do happen to think was probably the worst I've seen him look in the NFL to this point, which is discouraging. But, you know, there were a lot of times at Pitt that I saw performances like that, and I doubted Kenny Pickett. So I've been proven wrong by the guy before. Maybe that will happen again. And, you know, yeah, if he's not 100%, sure, send Mitch Trubisky out there against the Ravens. Good or bad, how he plays, regroup after the bye with your quarterback spot. But I think if Kenny Pickett is good to go, you know, you just can't go into this game and frame it as Kenny needs a break and we're going to ride with Mitch. That to me would be you know, just not really sending the right vibes to anybody at this point in his career. But I guess we'll see what Tomlin decides to do.
You got to believe in your guys, especially your quarterback.
Got to stay the course. So
stay the course.
I'm surprised we didn't get a stay the course today from Tomlin, did we?
You're right. We did not. We did not get a stay the course.
Guess goes without saying, but
yes, obviously
not blowing in the wind.
Exactly, or painting the barn red this week. But I want to talk to Brian about another injury situation that's going to impact the Steelers offense, and that's the tight end room. What's going to happen there? We'll do that in a minute here on the North Shore Drive podcast in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, before we do anything else, I want to remind you guys, the show is also sponsored by Savinus Kane & Gallucci, their mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Kane and Gallucci. We're also brought to you by Game Time, the number one app that allows you to buy tickets in advance with great deals and get you amazing chances to get tickets for your favorite events. And those are concerts, comedy events, sporting events, anything near you. Game Time is going to help you find wherever you're at. And again, GameTime.co is the website. Game Time is the app you download to your phone. If you're even buying tickets, even for an event that's up to an hour after it started, if you're running late and you're thinking, oh man, there's this great event, I want to get to it, Game Time can help you find it with their best price guarantee that can't be beat. And if you're looking on the Game Time app and you want to figure out, oh man, I don't know if these tickets are the right kind of seats that I want to get. The Game Time app allows you to see the view from those seats so that you can know that you're selecting the right one, and they eliminate all the hidden fees. All things are up front when you're on the Game Time app, so you're not surprised when you click on tickets that are one price and then see, oh my gosh, they're so much more expensive. That doesn't happen to you on the Game Time app. Just two taps of a button and those tickets are yours. If you're running behind on an event, get those tickets on the Game Time app. They'll help you get there, and that's for even Steelers games, Penguins games, Pitt games, comedy events, concerts in Pittsburgh. All those different things are available to you. The Game Time best price guarantee can't be beat, because if you find tickets in the same section or row for less somewhere else on that same event, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference in those prices. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to their website, GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account, redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast, Chris Carter, Brian Batko coming at you on the Steelers. Let's talk about the tight end room, Brian, because Pat Freiermuth is doubtful for this game. Yeah. I don't know about you, Brian. Whereas Pat Freiermuth needed to be throwing the ball more. I say that a lot in just covering Pittsburgh football lately, because Gavin Bartholomew should be throwing the football a lot more.
Yeah, Gavin and Pat need to like go get a beer together or something.
Just be like, is your guy giving me problems? Mine is. But bottom line, I feel
pretty good when they throw to me. Like, yeah, me too. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Now, I will say this. Pat Freiermuth, when he's throwing the ball, he gives you a good chance. But he has not looked good blocking this year. In fact, there's quite a few plays where you can see him getting blown up right at the point of attack and costing the Steelers at times. And that could be a component that might be going back to his chest injury that he had earlier. And if he's not fully healed there, but that's also not been his strength for some time.
Yeah. And we knew that about him coming out of college, right? That was one of the knocks on Freiermuth.
And that might mean Darnell Washington is going to start this week and get a lot more reps. I personally have thought Darnell Washington when blocking has looked good, and he just hasn't been throwing the ball, but he's been getting open in some reasonable positions. I think that Darnell Washington could be another one of those rookies that people might be surprised to see how well he could fit what the Steelers want to do. What's your opinion on him getting the start this week if he has to and what he'll be able to do?
Yeah, I mean, so far playing about half the snaps, I believe. But obviously, to your point, Chris, the usage in the passing game, certainly not reflective of that. You know, we did see in the spring and certainly in training camp, he's a big target, probably a more reliable set of hands than some people thought coming out of Georgia, because again, his route running usage wasn't much to write home about there either. So there is a little bit of like, hey, this is now two consecutive coaching staffs that, you know, they're seeing the same thing, really. They're not super eager to get him out into space and throw him a ton of passes. To me, I think the biggest concern I have with him is the health. And, you know, he's been on the injury report a couple weeks in a row now, missing some practice time with that knee that also was part of the reason he dropped into the third round, despite all the athletic testing at the combine, obviously every prototypical size measurement you could ever want in a tight end. But, you know, he looks like he's hobbling around sometimes out there. Maybe adrenaline gets you going on game day and you can still get open and you can still run the patterns that you need to run. But that to me is what caps a little bit of the potential for me to see him sliding in seamlessly to the Pat Freiermuth role. I mean, the more I think about it, you know, Jerry Dulac reported Freiermuth probably going to miss 2 to 3 games. He's one of the more irreplaceable players on this offense, I think, Chris. I mean, with his skill set and what he can do, and yes, again, the blocking has been atrocious at times, but you also kind of know with him as your number one tight end, he's there to stretch the field, make tough catches down the seam, and be a quarterback's best friend more than he is the second coming of Rob Gronkowski as an inline guy. They don't really have another player like that. Darnell Washington is the sixth lineman. Connor Hayward is more of a fullback, especially in body type. And, you know, they've got Rodney Williams on the practice squad in a weird way as a converted college receiver. He's actually the closest thing that they have to Pat Freiermuth, but clearly not at that same caliber. So I put him right up there with George Pickens and probably Deontay Johnson with skill sets that are tough to replicate with the depth that you have. So it's not going to be easy for Matt Canada and company to formulate this game plan without their top tight end in there.
I think it's going to present some serious challenges.
And you got to at least try Washington, right? I mean, you got to see if
give him a shot. Yeah. I mean, the one play they hit him in this game, it was a play action, a bootleg, and Kenny Pickett didn't like what he went down, and it looked like he was kind of reluctant to even give it to him. But when he did, he got 11 yards. He trucked
the pile fell forward. The pile fell forward, as Mike Tomlin kept talking about the Texans doing. So it's like, hey, sometimes some of your own players might be able to make their piles fall forward.
I felt for a while that Darnell Washington, I'm not saying that he's some elite player, but you can get him 3-4 targets a game in some interesting situations, because if he's on the field, everyone's looking at George Pickens, they're looking at Najee Harris, they might even be looking at Calvin Austin at this point. But when he's on the field, people aren't putting their best coverage men on Darnell Washington, nor do I think that people have the kind of size to stick with Darnell Washington, especially with his athleticism. Like, he can be a different kind of playmaker for you. And this comes down to, you know, one scheming, but also two, Kenny Pickett taking the opportunity. There was a play where Kenny Pickett ended up throwing it away. It was a late release, and Darnell Washington was like 5 yards in front of him with nobody.
Yeah, I saw that too, Chris. I know it was a little bit late developing, but I was like, you got to at least take that chance there.
At least just dump it to him, and then he more yards from it. I think that that can be something. That was something that, that Ben Roethlisberger did with Le'Veon Bell in 2014 that became such a big part of that offense. Everyone would run to cover Antonio Brown, run to cover Martavius.
Sure, and you take those free yards underneath. Yeah,
exactly. And then he would dump it to Bell. Bell would get 8-10 yards, and it was a huge part of the offense. That could be something that that Darnell Washington gives you. Doesn't require any elite route running. Doesn't require any expansive, crazy stuff. Get him the ball in those situations, and it works. And let him block for you because you want to be more physical against the Ravens. That guy can help you.
Yeah, they are going to be kind of limited now because even if you want to go to 12 personnel, I mean, who's your other tight end? Is it
Connor Hayward?
Is it Connor Hayward? Is it maybe Rodney Williams coming up from the practice squad and throwing him into the deep end? I'm not sure for this short stretcher without Freiermuth, but I do think Hayward, you know, could probably see some more snaps as well. Obviously, used in more of the traditional Freiermuth role, splitting out into the slot and whatnot. I thought there were a couple times Hayward was open and Pickett, you know, wasn't able to get to him. We keep saying that's been a little bit of a theme, and it highlights how poorly Kenny Pickett played in that game before he went down. I would also say Darnell Washington can really be a red zone threat and help you out in the end zone, but the Steelers don't necessarily get that close very often. So that's kind of a bridge we can cross if we ever get there.
Absolutely.
Not to end this podcast on a very depressing note, but you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is at this point. You know, they have a lot of things, a lot of questions. How many answers will they actually come up with? We'll see as we continue. Brian will be back with us on the Friday episode of the North Shore Drive podcast when we answer some of your burning questions with the AccraSure Fan Advantage. Be sure to tune in for that day. It's going to be a fun episode. Thanks again, Brian, and thanks again, you all, for tuning into the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel for all of our daily content that comes out covering all things Pittsburgh sports here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, as well as the North Shore Drive podcast every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and sometimes Saturday with our experts that we talk to from opponents the Steelers are facing. We'll see you then right here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For 3 months of digital access to post-gazette.com at 99 cents, click the link below in the description.